This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Brunson is bottled up, bounce pass McBride between the circles. 8 seconds to shoot. Oubre's guarding Brunson. McBride has the ball. Hart on the right wing. One dribble, fires a contested three-pointer. It's good! Knicks back up by seven. 60 seconds to play.
Pat O'Keefe with the call right here on 98.7 ESPN. A key moment as the Knicks win game one in the opening round series against the Philadelphia 76ers. Good Sunday afternoon, everybody. Thanks for stopping by the Larry Hardesty Show at 1-800-919-3776. Also via X, formerly Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN at ESPNNY. 98_7FM along with Tom and Harvey. We ride until Rangers cap preview. Our coverage begins at 2:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN. Well, come on, let's be honest. You were a little concerned about that Knicks game with Philly last night, weren't you? Come on, Knicks fans. Come on. Let's be honest. Because Joel Embiid did not look like the Joel Embiid you saw against Miami, did he? No. And when he went down with the injury, you folks thought about, not that you were wishing the injury. I'm not saying that. I'm not putting that on Knicks fans. But you folks thought, this could be like Jimmy Butler in Miami. We got this. And he came back and he was, listen, Joel Embiid is a problem. He's a problem. Now, if you're a Sixer fan, like my good friend Buddha, he's a problem because you know what you get when he's on the floor. But it's that every time he goes up or something happens, you are concerned that he could be done. You are concerned. But it was an excellent back and forth game last night. Tyrese Maxey, he's outstanding, folks. He is good. He's quick. He's quick off the dribble. He's got a nice jumper. He's got range on the three. He's really good. And, of course, I'm not going to – I have some things that bothered me about the Knicks game last night, clearly. But I'm not going to go into that because I want to hear from you. Just give me all your thoughts about the Knicks game one win. What you're looking forward to in game two. 1-800-919-3776. Okay. It was funny. The Knicks had 11 turnovers. But it seemed like they had more, right? Didn't it seem like Josh Hart was throwing the ball away, even though he had a great game. Excellent fourth quarter. Didn't it seem like he had turnovers and didn't it seem like DiVincenzo forcing turnovers, trying to get the Knicks can't get the ball in bounds? It was just a lot of things. But here's the thing that jumps out at me. And I was talking with my good friend he's just so smart in basketball. I just love having conversations with him. He's so good. And I'm picking his brain a lot during this series because I think him and I working together will help you watch and appreciate this game. I expected some nervousness from the starters last night because it is the first playoff game this season. And if you're the visiting team, that is usually the one you can steal. Either the team's been off a couple of days, there's a little bit of rust, there's some sluggishness, there's some nervousness, whatever it is. The Knicks starters came out and they were like struggling all week. And I know Tom Thibodeau is a great coach. So all week I know he has told that team that you have to be prepared because Philly and everybody you're going to face is going to double team Brunson and take Brunson away from you. Gordon and I talked about it all week on ESPN New York Tonight. All week. And what happened in the beginning? They doubled Brunson. They put all different people on him. Batum had a chance at it. Maxey had a chance on him. Oubre, the Lowry. Everybody guarded him. Okay? Harris, Buddha's favorite Sixer, was on him. Everybody had him. And I also said to you during the week, where is the other scoring coming from? And I mentioned Deuce McBride. And the question would be, would he be able to keep that high level of confidence and production coming off the bench that he had as a starter? Because when you are starting, you know you have more margin for error, right? Because you're starting. So you're going to come back in the game, and if you get off to the slow start, you have time to come back and recoup that. Coming off the bench, you might not be able to do that. He was outstanding. Him and Bogdanovich were great. 11 points to tie the game back at 36. And listen, we talk a lot about how great Knicks fans are, and they are, especially in that building. You could hear a pin drop in that building because of the way the Sixers jumped out to a double-digit lead. The building was silent. And their 11 points combined toward the end of that first quarter got that building back in. And it's tied at 36. And we have talked a lot over the years about how Tom Thibodeau uses or does not use his bench, right? Oh, guys play so long. They play a bunch of minutes. They do this. And listen, they do. They do. But guess what? In the postseason, a lot of starters play a lot of minutes. A lot of starters play over 35 minutes. A lot of starters play close to 40 minutes. Even with a good bench. The Knicks bench last night was, in a word, outstanding. They outscored Philly's bench 42-7. In a playoff game? 42-7. And 14 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, that decided the game right there. Because that game was still for the taking. Still for the taking. A couple of other things that I think that jumped out at you. It is nice to have, and this is something that you look at this game and it kind of lets you lean towards what front office may have to do in making assessments and changes for next season, right? Personnel-wise. It's really great that you have a two-headed monster at center, where you have Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein, because they both do certain things well, but they both have certain things that are innate to them. Styles make fights. And so while Isaiah Hartenstein, listen, offensively is more creative, better passer, better hands offensively, great offensive rebounder, solid defender at the rim, as is Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson, not the hands that Isaiah Hartenstein has. A slightly better offensive rebounder, slightly. But defensively, I think he's a little different, because I think he's a little more physical. And him and Embiid last night was just, they were going at it. And it was reminiscent of, you know, the earlier days, a different era when you battled in the paint with your two centers, right? Because now we have stretch threes and all this other stuff, which is great. It opens up the floor. I get it. But this was kind of what the basketball that I enjoyed coming up. This is kind of the basketball that I just found fabulous, was that, you know, that the physicalness in the paint. And so what Mitchell Robinson was able to do last night in battling with Embiid, and Embiid got him a couple of times. Listen, he's a great player. He's an MVP candidate. He's MVP last year. It was just great. It was really, really great. And the battle and protecting the paint late. Mitchell Robinson, just slightly more physical with Joel Embiid. But it was, man, it was an interesting game. Two things that the Knicks have to do. They got to find a way to free Brunson. Give the Sixers credit, okay? He was 8 of 26, 1 of 6 from 3, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 22.7 assists and 5 turnovers. Okay? Kelly Oubre Jr. does a great job with Jalen Brunson. He picks him up deep. it pressures him across the midcourt line. The length is an issue. You even saw on a couple of occasions Maxey coming behind Brunson when he shot to get the ball, when he was going up for the shot to block it. Sixers did their homework. I told you going in, Gordon and I told you, Nick Nurse is an outstanding coach. And he's going to make some other adjustments because he's got to find a way to keep the Knicks off the offensive boards. I don't know how he's going to do it. And that's been their strength all year, obviously. But he's got to find a way to do that because Sixers are going to have trouble. For me, the Knicks are finding themselves, and I get it, the top of the key screen that Embiid sets, that Maxey's cutting off of. So now the person that is defending Embiid has got to try to get to Maxey. That can't happen because Maxey's going to go by. I don't care if it's Hartenstein. I don't care if it's Mitchell Robinson. I don't care if it's Precious Achiuwa. I don't care who it is. That's tough when he's got a head of steam to stop him from going to the basket without fouling him. And he did that. It just seemed like time after time after time after time. So I'm sure Tom Thibodeau and the coaching staff will try to do something with that. The other thing is this. You knew he was going to be a pest going in. He is an underrated player, in my opinion. He's a smart player. Kyle Lowry just gets on my nerves as a Knicks fan. He gets the loose balls. He forces turnovers. He gets the offensive foul. There's a loose ball. He'll get in and make a shot in a key moment. He's that guy. You know what I'm saying? He's that guy that just drives you nuts if you're a Knicks fan because he's always around and he's always able to make the plays. And so you have to do something with him. But all in all, listen, you got game one. You got to get some kinks out. You go back in the lab and you get ready for game two. This is going to be a fascinating series. All right, time for you. 1-800-919-3776. On the show today, Pat Ragazzo is in L.A. Mets Dodgers. He'll join us at 1:30. Give us the latest on Francisco Alvarez when he's coming back with the thumb injury and what has changed with this Met team that is now one of the hottest teams in baseball. And at 2 o'clock, we'll head back to Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. Don LaGreca, you know, ESPN New York Tonight's greatest of all time, will join us with a preview of Rangers Caps. You'll hear that right here at 2:30 on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
No, it was great defense, and they had a great game plan, and I got to go back to the drawing board and be better. But I think the one thing I just kept turning the page and turning the page, knowing that things would be better. I have to have short-term memory when things like that happen. So honestly, just got to give them a lot of credit.
It's an acknowledging the great game plan that Philadelphia had for him defensively in game one that the Knicks were able to win against the Sixers at the Garden last night. Larry Hardesty Show here on 98.7 ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. All right, let's get to the phones. Spike's in St. Pete. Spike, start us off on this Sunday.
All right, we escaped that one, and I agree with you on Kyle Lowry. He is a pain in the ass, but he's a brilliant player. He's just he's 38 years old. And my nephew Trey says his weight goes up and down like Oprah. We could make all the fun in the world about him, but those Villanova boys are seasoned. They rarely make errors. I noticed right away that Hartenstein seemed a little nervous. His shot was short a couple of times, and three of the first five possessions, the ball went in and out. But when you really break down the game, look, I'm not gloating in anything. I do realize the first game at home for the road team is the one you steal. You alluded to that before. And you had to avoid that. He made the right move putting Mitchell Robinson in, who stayed on Embiid, who's so compromised. Oh, yeah, listen, yeah. If he wasn't an opponent, I would feel bad for him. But a couple of times he went down, the 7 points from the bench, And you can really kind of back that one down, Larry, because they expended a lot of energy. They had a great game plan against Brunson. The Knicks did the three things. They kept the Philadelphia, who's not a good three-point shooting team, at 34%. They kept their turnovers down. And I agree with you. It looked like more turnovers. It's just the activity of Hart. And my guy, Deuce McBride, we talked about it. Ad infinitum, you and I and Gordon and others who call in about the jitters, he was brilliant last night. He just was brilliant on both sides of the floor. And I'm glad we got out of our home court there with the win. The game was in the balance. Mm-hmm. It was. But we did make those in-game adjustments. Bogey did what we thought he would do. Thibodeau kept Mitchell in because Hartenstein was a little nervous, and it was a better fit with the upper body strain. We crushed them off the boards, yeah, which we needed, and there's nothing else I could say about Josh Hart. I did see on the post game he took a lot of extra three-point shots. He's contracted out J.J. Redick to help him. All he needs to do is get the repetitions because his form is pretty good. He'll make his threes. He was hesitant on a couple of them and off balance on the last one, but it was his night, and you can't get a loose ball away from that guy, and you got a wounded guy there. But if I told you prior to the game, and I'll get off, it's a short show, let everyone get in. If I told you before the game, Maxey and Embiid would get 60-some-odd points, mm-hmm, but their shooting was off their normal shooting. Their rebound, they were out-rebounded. They're not a great rebounding team in spite of having Embiid. And we beat them where we had to beat them. We beat them on the square. That's what you have to do in those type of games. So let's enjoy it, and you have another game coming up tomorrow.
Absolutely, Spike. Thanks for getting us started on the Larry Hardesty Show. And you know, the other thing, too, that was fascinating to me and concerning, and maybe it's, you know, as I look over and had a conversation with my favorite coach, it just looks like the Knicks struggle when people throw a zone at them, right? It just does because, okay, it keeps you know, players out of the paint, and, you know, the Knicks just seem to struggle. They go from east to west, and they don't challenge, and, you know, they're not consistent with their jumpers and stuff like that. And what was fascinating was the Sixers threw some zones at the Knicks last night. They threw a couple of different zones at them. And I was a little surprised that the Knicks handled it as well as they did. Now, clearly, listen, this is the playoffs. And if you're Tom Thibodeau, you're preparing your team. This is the zone. This is some of the zones you're going to face. This is what you do when you have that. You know, so I know LaGreca talks about it a lot when it comes to the NFL. And he's 1,000% right. Coaching is important, folks. Even no matter what the level, even at the pro level, coaching and preparation is important. And, you know, it's you look at what the Celtics have been able to do this year. All right, they've run away with the East. They've been far and away the best team in the East. It's not even close. The record, it was 60 wins. Okay? But in the postseason, there are people who will say to you, in a tight situation, they're not confident that the Celtics coach can, Mazzullo, can get it done. Okay? In preparation and stuff, they're not comfortable. They're not sure. They're not confident to say that this can happen. And so, once again, you go down that road, you find out. I'm confident in Thibodeau. I know he's going to get them prepared. I know he's going to make the adjustments. I know he's going to do what needs to be done. And so you could see the difference in how they attacked the zone. It was differently. Now, obviously, when the shots go in, it makes him look like a genius. But, you know, there's some other things that you'd like to see them just tighten up. Once again, it's game one. That's gone. Tomorrow night is a new game. It's totally different. I don't think you can carry anything away from game one. Game two is its own individual game. And one of the things we'll talk about when we return here on the Larry Hardesty Show is what they actually did to Jalen Brunson, which was fascinating to me. What they did and who they used to try to, you know, confuse him a little bit. We'll talk about that and take your phone calls. But first, the second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up. Get your calendars. It's Thursday, May 2nd. Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset. That's just steps away from the Manhasset station on the LIRR. where after the show, the crew will take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Chicago Cubs. It's the pregame party with Rick and Dave on Thursday, May 2nd, and it's brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company, Come As You Are, and Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails, available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please Zing Zang responsibly. Your calls are next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The last two games of the regular season, our season series, you know, Nick just, his game plan was just to play off me and just let me shoot and dare me to make shots. So I knew that as soon as they won, it would be the same thing with Spo if Miami won. So that's something that I knew I had to really focus on. And, you know, this whole week has just been getting up shots. You know, pre-practice, post-practice, going back at night, just getting up shots, getting up reps. I knew it was going to, you know, be that way in terms of just open shots. And, you know, fortunately I was able to, you know, knock it down.
Yes, he was. That's Josh Hart. Key threes in the fourth quarter to help the Knicks win game one against the Philadelphia 76ers. And what's funny about that, before we get back to the calls, is that that's what he was when he got here last year. He was a guy that would shoot the three. He was a guy that wasn't hesitant. This year, I don't know, he put up the shots early, had some issues, lost faith in them, and just decided to be, you know, I'm going to crash the boards and do other things. He's needed in this series. He's needed in the postseason because, Larry's going to say it again, spoiler alert, the Knicks need other scorers to help out Jalen Brunson. You're not going to see, it's going to be rare for you to see games where Jalen Brunson's going to have 38, 39, 40, 50, 60 points in a game in the postseason. Okay, that doesn't happen consistently like the season he's had in the regular season. It's not. They're going to do whatever they can. And you saw just game one last night. Now, it is going to be interesting to see what he does in game two. But the thing that I admire about Brunson is he may be off, but he still moves around. He doesn't go, he's not stagnant and just say, oh, well, I don't have it. Let me just give it to somebody else. He's still moving, so he's still involved in the offense. And so maybe you get him on the first try, but maybe you don't get him on the second try or the third try, because when you have a team that's so aggressive on the offensive boards, he will have other opportunities to score. So we'll see what the adjustments are and what he does in game two. Right now, we're talking about game one with you. 1-800-919-3776. Josh is in Plainsboro. What's up, Josh?
Hi, Larry.
Hey.
Hey, so I was watching the Knicks game last night. Mm-hmm. I was feeling pretty nervous in the first quarter because we did get down by double digits and we were looking really sloppy. But I left the game feeling pretty confident, honestly, because a lot of the better players, they had bad games, and a lot of the bench players had really good games. And I expect some of those better players like Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby to have better games throughout the playoffs. I think Mitchell Robinson did a really, really great job guarding Joel Embiid. And I think that we might end up having to have him start over Hartenstein, because Hartenstein was looking a little sloppy out there.
Well, it's an interesting point, Josh. Thanks for the phone call. We'll wait and see. I think you will keep your starting lineup the way it is, and you'll just make the adjustment and have Mitchell Robinson play more minutes if you need to. I don't think Tibbs is going to change the starting lineup because it's been successful. Once again, I think it's opening night jitters, first game playoff jitters. It's different, man. It's game two. You're the second seed, not game two. You're the second seed. A lot of pressure on you. Home court advantage. You're supposed to win. You're supposed to win these two games at home. You're the second seed. When you have home court advantage, you have to take advantage of it. All right. And you, once again, we understand that Philly is a seventh seed, but Philly's not really a seventh seed. Philly was 2-3 for most of the season before Embiid got hurt. Okay. So let's be realistic here. Let's be realistic. They're a very good team. They're a little top heavy. The bench is not as productive. But when you have Maxey the way he does, and Embiid when he's healthy, and even when he's not healthy, you saw what he was able to do. Compromised. Still, he's still a major factor. And you sprinkle in a little Kyle Lowry, and you know, some other players there, they can be a problem. Omar's in Brooklyn. What's up, O?
How are you, Larry? How are you? Two small things I want to ask. I'm concerned, and I have my reservation. First, you said the game to Nick Nurse, I heard about it. He said in the third quarter and fourth quarter, whatever we wanted to do, we did. So that is concerning. And he is very optimistic. He said, whatever you say, he does not have an answer for offenses. So he's basically giving it up that we are going to be out-rebound them in every game. So what he's telling us basically that Josh Hart is not going to make those three threes that he made in the crunch situation, that I'll take my chances and I'll take 8 for 26 on Brunson the way we did. I'll take him. He was a little bit hesitant that he said, oh, we can do a little bit better than that. So these are the two. So I think game two is more concerning for me because the way the third and fourth quarter, even we hit big time shots and Josh Hart jacket is amazing. Uh-huh. And Josh has a big heart, loin heart, Josh heart. Everything that you want to know that, you know, sometimes we look at the statistics, but sometimes, you know what Josh Hart is? Like when he made that three-point foul going on the basket on Embiid, just touching him when he was there and he made a stupid and he hit himself on the head after that. I said, now he's going to play. And what did he do next possession? Carry the ball, continues to the zone, and then he challenged Embiid for a layup before he was hesitant picking it. I said, here, he's starting to play game. So Josh Hart is all about effort. You can say that his weakness is a three-pointer, this and that, but as Thibodeau said it one time, he said, when Josh Hart is in the game, he does some things that we don't even see, and we cannot even match it, but he always changes the momentum of the game. That's what he is. That's why he is in the starting lineup, and on the reserve, you can say he can't shoot this and that, but defensive effort, and plus he does some things in the game that change the momentum of the game. That's why he is in the starting lineup. I'll take my offensive rebounds. I think Brunson will have a better game, and Anobi will have a better game. Nick Nurse looked to me a little bit arrogant that, oh, we take. I don't think Carlisle is scoring 18 points a game. That third quarter, that three quarters, Anunoby, that was, he said, as Josh Hart said, mental, that we did a lot of mental faults, like out of bounds. How many times we have to tell DiVincenzo that whenever you are going through that 5 second rotation, throw towards the other basket, don't throw towards our basket. And then at the end of the possession, Mitchell Robinson getting the ball out of possession, so they can foul two throws. These are possessions that we need to work on every time on this.
You're right, Omar. Thanks for the phone call. And I got to tell you, I was sitting here. I was a little surprised that Tibbs did not pull Mitchell Robinson late in that game because you knew they were going to foul him. But I give Mitch credit. He hit both free throws. They hit them both. Nick Nurse is saying what Nick Nurse is supposed to say. Okay? And yeah, he might be a little arrogant. He's confident in his team. But the question is, and what have I said? Where's the scoring coming from to help Jalen Brunson? Who's going to be that person? Okay? Well, let me ask you this on the other side. Who's going to be that person to help out Maxi and Embiid? I mean, Harris took 7 shots in 31 minutes. Bench was 3 of 10, 1 of 5 from 3, no free throws. Oubre took 7 shots in 38 minutes because he's focused on trying to defend Brunson. Where is their scoring coming from? Who's going to help Embiid? Who's going to help Maxi? And yeah, you know, obviously, Kyle Lowry, he may not get 18, but he's going to be involved, Omar. He's going to be involved in some way. It might not be scoring. It might be defense. It might be something else. But he will be involved. There's no question about it. Dylan's in Jersey. What's up, Dylan?
Larry, what's going on, man? Real quick, I just want to, right on. Life, it couldn't be better, actually. So I just wanted to touch on game one. If you really think about it, big picture, you zoom out. Game one was a microcosm of the entire Knicks season. Mm-hmm. It's next man up. One thing's not clicking, so we just insert somebody somewhere. Deuce was the guy last night. Bogdanovich was the guy last night, right? And what makes this team so dangerous and so good is outside of maybe Jalen Brunson being a really special player, nobody does anything that's outstanding. What they do is they take what the defense gives them and they make the right decision more often than not. They play read and react basketball. These guys remind me of the early 2000 Pistons. If you want to take it even further, the championship Knicks teams that just played so well together as a team that the sum of their parts is what makes them the most dangerous thing about them. That and the fact that they defend relentlessly. But when's the last time you remember the Knicks collectively having an awful game? Maybe a month ago when they played the Sixers, whenever that was, where they laid an egg. But all season long, it's been next man up, and that's what keeps this thing going. And, Larry, I want to throw a comparison by you. Tell me if I'm out of my mind. When you see Deuce McBride shoot the basketball, who do you see? Who does that remind you of? Because for me, when I see him elevate and score and knock down and play hard like a pit bull, I see Stephon Marbury. I see Starbury in that jump shot. I don't know if you see anything different. Appreciate you, Larry.
Thank you. Thanks for the phone call. A little bit. Yeah, I see a little bit. A little bit of Steph. Yeah, a little bit of Stephon Marbury. I can see where you're coming from there. I can see a little bit of it. 1-800-919-3776. Well, I got more calls. Top of the hour, we'll turn our attention to the New York Yankees. And I'm going to spin poetic about a guy who said goodbye yesterday. We'll do that at the top of the hour on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The Larry Hardesty Show here on 98.7 ESPN. Chatting with you at 1-800-919-3776. Talking a little Knicks right now. And their game one win last night. And what you think is going to happen in game number two tomorrow night in a game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. So here's what, before I get to the calls, I talked about earlier, I teased, that Philly did a great job on Jalen Brunson last night. Now, one of the things they did, which is interesting, is whether on the pick and rolls for Brunson, that sometimes he'll take and sometimes he waves off, what they did was Philadelphia made sure that Embiid was involved. So either he was, he dropped back so Brunson could have the shot, or, you know, Brunson, he's trying to get a better shot. So he would continue dribbling to try to move closer. Then Oubre or Nicholas Batum, you know, moves closer. They go over the pick and then chase him from behind. So this way, it causes Brunson either to alter his shot, or you saw it on a couple of occasions, the person from the weak side comes behind Brunson and tips the ball and blocks it. So, once again, the major thing is for Philly that gives them, you know, a fighting chance to continue to defend Brunson and make his life miserable is they have multiple guys that can defend him. Okay? Oubre, obviously, I think does the best job. Batum, they threw at him. Harris, they threw at him. You know, Lowry defended him a couple of times. I even saw Embiid on him once or twice. So they can put Maxey. So they can put anybody on him to try to get him to alter his shot and to almost penalize him for looking to others. And if he does, Nick Nurse is like, good. If Josh Hart can hit those threes, I'm good. I'll live with it. Jalen Brunson's not beating me in this series to send me home. And so once again, it will be incumbent upon the Knicks to find other people to hit those shots that you need to hit in key moments. And I expect that Brunson will be better in game two. He will look at video. He will make the adjustment. And I'm sure on the other side of it, Nick Nurse has got, if he gets past this, Nick Nurse has something else in store for Brunson that he has not seen. And I expect the same thing will be for either Maxey and Embiid. It's the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. Every game is its own series. It's the ultimate chess match. I don't care what the sport. It's the ultimate chess match. Jose's in Brooklyn. What's up, Jose?
good afternoon, Larry. Shout out to the company, and I do have to agree with you. That's why I love the playoffs. It is the ultimate trust match, and I always used to love that old tagline from TNT. I think it was "We know drama," and it was, you know, and the playoffs was always brought that. And it's glad to see that the Knicks are back into that picture. And I was watching the game. My point on game one, and I think the caller Josh kind of brought it up earlier as well, was like, you know, the effect that Mitchell Robinson had on it. You know, you know me, I've been a big fan of, like, you know, the impact of what he does on the defensive end and what he does from the offensive rebounding, and the fact that it was just a little evident, like, you know, in playoff basketball, you do need people like that, because you need a person that's going to be able to extend your offense by, you know, getting those offensive rebounds and, you know, giving you those extra possessions to try to get those extra points, because in every single, you know, time where the possession matters, it becomes so much more critical. And I'm glad that he was able to hit those free throws, because if he missed them, you knew what everyone was going to say. Mm-hmm. But and it's going to be interesting to see, because, like you said, everyone does need to kind of step up. Who's going to be that scorer to kind of make it interesting? Because I do agree with you. I think the game plan that that Philly did put up in game one was very impressive, and it wasn't surprising. It's just, you know, we just got to still continue to win, because that's going to be the onus on, you know, this Knick roster, since, you know, right now on paper, we're even without Randall and they have Embiid coming back off of an injury, it's still and he's very hobbled, we still, you know, should be able to, you know, get past this series. So the talent and everything else does need to separate. And by the way, Kyle Lowry, we just need to say that he's Project Zero, you know, of that Villanova. Like he was the first, and, you know, he was the guy that kind of, you know, pretty much, because I still remember, you know, that Villanova, I still remember when Jay Wright was pretty much producing upsets with those young Villanova kids from way back then. So, you know, he deserves every, you know, credit that he gets, because he's not going to go away. I don't think he's not going to go away. He always saves his time for this. We have to just ignore, kind of like with the Miami Heat, with, you know, that narrative what we said with the Heat, just ignore what they do in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Like, we just have to ignore what he does in the regular season, because in this time, he's going to come out and be a pain. And, you know, I hope, hopefully the Knicks, you know, don't fall for the trap like they did last year. So thank you for your time, Larry, and have a great one.
All right, Jose, you too. Thanks for the phone call. 1-800-919-3776. He always does it against the Knicks, though. He's really good. He's a really good player, but he just enjoys torturing New York. I don't know what it is. He just does. Devin's in Westchester. What's up, Devin?
Larry, what's up, Eddie? How you doing?
I'm doing great, partner. What's happening?
I'm all right. I'm just my take on the Knicks game. You know, I thought a lot of it was Russ. Mm-hmm. I really did. I thought a lot of it was Russ. You know, you got the week off. We just weren't gelling. You know, our big scorers didn't hit shots. Brunson didn't have a good game offensively. DiVincenzo didn't play down the line. You know, OG, not that much of a great game offensively. If it wasn't for Deuce and Josh Hart, pretty much our fourth and fifth option, that game would have been gone. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really that shaken, you know, because our major options didn't contribute the way we needed them to, or how we do on a regular basis.
Well, you're right, and thanks for the phone call. Rust is a part of it. There's no question. Nerves is a part of it. It's the first playoff game. Hope we'll see what happens tomorrow night to get it out of your system. You know, you have to win tomorrow night. Okay, you cannot let Philly back into this series. You have to win tomorrow night. You have home court advantage. You have to take advantage of it, and it's not going to be easy. Philly's going to come out fighting. You know they are, and you just have to play your game and execute what you're supposed to do. You have to improve on closing out threes a little bit. There's little things that you have to do to get better. But listen, you continue to hit the boards against them and get other opportunities and not turn the basketball over and hit free throws, you got a great chance on winning this series. Eddie's in L.A. What's up, Eddie?
Larry, good morning, brother.
How you doing, partner?
I'm doing good. Where's Gordon today?
He works on Saturdays. We only work together during the week.
Oh, okay. Man, because I love both you guys, man. I love when you guys are on. You guys are so funny the way you play off of each other.
Appreciate you.
But, of course, brother. So I was telling your producer, Tom, that that I overestimated the Knicks. I predicted for the Knicks to win this series in 4 or 5 with Embiid on the court. But now I changed my mind. I think they'll win in 6.
Okay.
But here's, like your caller said before, he said, I agreed everything what he said, but I don't believe in the rust because look at Deuce McBride. How come he wasn't rusty? Mm-hmm. And don't forget about Mr. Robinson, the keys to the game, who kept us in the game. When we were down by, 12-14, Deuce McBride came in, and Deuce saved us because Brunson was cold. And then in the second half, the same thing. Philly came back. Who saved us? This time it was Mr. Robinson. But Deuce made a key three-pointer as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it was Russ. I just think they was off. Mm-hmm. And but I think that, just like you said, we have to win game 2. You cannot lose that game. All right, brother.
All right, partner.
As always, I'm always trying to listen to you.
I appreciate you. Thanks, Eddie. You can't lose game 2. You can't lose your home court advantage. You can't. You have to win this second game. You have to. Deuce McBride was phenomenal. Don't forget Bojan Bogdanovic. He was very good, too. Had some key threes, a couple of baskets. Looked pretty good defensively, decent defensively. But once again, if he's scoring and hitting that open shot, it's huge. It takes a lot of pressure. It takes a lot of pressure off of you know, Brunson and the starters in that offense. I think OG Anunoby will be better. It's tough for him trying to stay with Maxey. That's tough. But I think with you guys, I think everybody will be better. The starters will be better in game 2. And if you get the same bench that you got in game 1, you got a really good shot of going up 2-0 in the series, shifting back to Philadelphia. 1-800-919-3776. Also, you can weigh in on X, formerly Twitter, at HardestESPN, at ESPNNY, 98_7FM. We'll take more of your phone calls next on 98.7 ESPN.